It's not a question then about whether God rewards faithfulness or fruitfulness, because through faithfulness comes fruitfulness. Through being faithful towards God, we're going to do good. And through remaining faithful towards God and reflecting His love in our lives, we can show fruitfulness. So I really believe the core of this good deeds question is about our faithfulness and about acting out that faithfulness in our lives, not just doing something that's nice and lovely, but doing it through conviction of Christ. So now we're going to have a look at three more verses. There's a lot of verses that just chunk together. And I've made this one a little bit too much to the left, haven't I? That's right. So we're going to have a look at 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay down any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So here we have three different perspectives on rewards in heaven. We have 1 Corinthians 3, which talks about us building our lives for God, about setting a foundation and creating as we live. And those who build something that survives God's judgment will be rewarded. And those who build things that do not survive God's judgment will still have eternal life, but will not be rewarded in the same way. James 1:12 brings this a step further and talks about perseverance under trial and says that those who stand the test, those who go through life and push through in faithfulness will receive the crown of life and will get extra blessing and reward. And then this one is 2 Timothy is talking about Paul's faithfulness and that he'll be rewarded for running his race. These verses can support either argument. I think something that's really clear about this topic is that there's no clear answer, which is great. But I think it points towards rewards for faithfulness and acknowledgement towards those who live out their life faithfully. Through running our race and wagging our Christian flag high, we are running towards salvation. The unique trials and journeys shape us, and these verses acknowledge God's pleasure in those who are faithful through them. God is delighted and happy in those who stay faithful towards him and those who are fruitful in their faithfulness. So whether there are these rewards towards exceptional faith and good works, I really don't know. But it's clear that these things are worthy of reward and are something that matters to God. So when I think about rewards in heaven for good works, I become worried about pride and jealousy and greed. It's in our nature on earth to gather rewards for our own pride and to look at those who have more than us with jealousy. Even further than that is the fear that we're missing out on rewards if we don't do every good deed we could possibly do. John Piper quotes a sermon by classic theologian Jonathan Edwards when he was asked this question. Edwards says that everyone in God's kingdom will be completely happy and completely holy. This means that those who receive less rewards will still have plenty and will be happy for those who have more than them. Those who have more will be humble and generous, not seeing themselves as greater than anyone else because of what they have. It's a different way of looking to our lives as we do now. In heaven, we won't have selfishness and we won't have sinfulness. And to think of these rewards without that sinfulness, I think, can be difficult to us because we know this sinfulness well here. But in heaven, we're called to a holy life and a life that that is different and new. It's not on us to decide what's fair or to complain or brag, because we're all going to be rewarded with a good life and we'll all be free from sinfulness. So there's two stories Jesus tells us that I think help us understand some of this issue. Matthew 21-16 is known as the parable of the workers in the vineyard. I'm not going to read both of these stories because they're fairly long. But in this first one, a landowner hires people to work in his vineyard. They start very early in the morning, and at nine, the landowner hires more men to work. And he hires more men at noon, and then at three, and then at five. And then around 6 o'clock, he calls all the workers in, and he pays them all the same amount, a denarius. The people who had been working all day got upset because they had been working all day and therefore deserved more money than people who had just worked an hour. And this is what the landowner replied with in Matthew 20:13-16. But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." So the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus, is about God's generosity. And it doesn't work within how we see fairness and how we see what we're owed. It's God's right to give as he decides. It's not our right to decide what he gives and who deserves more. God's extending to all of us a great prize, and we should rejoice that he's offering it equally. This other parable is the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30. A man gives his servants three servants talents, which were bags of gold, and he left them for an undetermined time. When he came back, he brought them all forward one at a time and talked to them about the talents. The first servant was given five talents and had managed to get five extra talents back. The second servant was given two talents and brought back an extra two, but the last servant was given one talent and buried it and did nothing with it. To the first two servants, he said this. Same thing to both of them. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So we can see that God rewards us for our works and gives us more to do when we prove faithful. But to this last servant, he was thrown out and his talent was given to the first servant. Faithfulness begets rewards and responsibilities in the kingdom of heaven, but unfaithfulness will have you thrown out. These parables put together show God to be generous and just. He gives and takes away according to his righteousness. He rewards faithfulness and appreciates those who does his work. Whether he rewards us for good works or not, we can trust God will look after us. We can trust his judgment and cannot complain about his mercy and grace. So what can we learn from this bit of a mess of a sermon? Well, I hope we can learn something. And firstly, I think it's important to remember that there's more to our lives than what we can see. We're not building towards something that we know and we can see. Oh, I hit my thing, that's cool. But we're living towards something more and greater than what we know. The lives we live now reflect our new lives and the promises God has made. These new lives are holy lives, which are separate from the ways of this world. This separateness reflects ideologies that don't always fit with what we see on earth. Complete humility, love, and joyfulness are not so strongly shown here as they will be in heaven. We're all called to follow God and to love him wholly, with a W. When we love someone, we do things that please them and avoid doing things that embarrass them or affects their reputation. How much greater should that be for God? He made us and he saved us, and therefore deserves our love and adoration and deserves our relationship with him. That should be reason enough for us to do good, is our love for Christ and our awe and wonder at him and his guidance. We should never place power in these works, for they are just human works, but we should place power in the Holy Spirit through whom we do these things. We know we can trust God and that he has already prepared redemption for us. Finally, we should accept and acknowledge this picture of who we will be rather than who we are. If we spend all of our time focusing on our actions here, weighing up the good and the bad here and placing that as our identity, we're going to lose focus of the bigger picture. We're moving towards a life of holiness, a life of freedom in God. We know that God has plans for us to be holy, happy, and humble. So why don't we live like that here? If we know who we're going to be, why are we not making steps to be that here? When we look at that as who we are and our identity as someone in the future, rather than on what we see now and what we know we've done, the good and the bad, we can move forward much easier. And when we're not focusing on all the little things, but seeing this big picture, I think there's a bigger freedom within it. So that's that one. I think we should be putting our eyes on this picture of holiness and respecting others and living a fulfilled life. If we see holiness as our goal and our end game, we can make steps to move towards that and live it out here. So we should spend less time arguing and weighing our good and bad deeds, and spend more time bringing God's kingdom here today. I'll pray now as the musicians come up. Lord, thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you that you have a plan for us and a new life for us, Lord. I pray that we may be able to move further and further towards holiness today. Lord, please protect us and our loved ones and those around us, and help us to be a blessing towards them. In Jesus' name, amen.